Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodie and I am your host, and I have some really good news for you guys. So I was scheduled to do an interview with a CEO of a company, and he canceled yesterday. He didn't cancel yesterday. He canceled like a week before, and that's no problem. We're good. Hopefully he'll be able to come back on some other time, but I was like, man, that was my kind of like what I had planned for the week. So I got the news together. There wasn't a lot of news, put together a show, and then something magical happened. Chris Ashley, who is one of the hosts of the SMR podcast. He's also a host on Barbecue and Tech. He's a regular contributor on the Daily Tech News show and a good friend of Allison and Steve Sheridan, who have also been on this podcast several times. Chris got he took delivery of a Ford F-150 Lightning, and Allison was nice enough to put Chris and I together a few weeks ago, and she's like, hey, you guys should get together and talk. Well, yesterday, Chris took delivery of his vehicle. Allison sends us an email, and she's like, hey, listen, I know I said you could have this, but I want to be a part of it. And I was happy. I was happy because mostly, Allison's a much better podcaster than I am, Chris too. And that takes a lot of weight off of me, but I still get to be involved in creating content. But second, I wanted to sit down and I wanted to chat with Chris, and I wanted to learn more about his F-150 Lightning. Now, I want to let you all know, he mentions this in the podcast, but he's only had this vehicle for 8 hours. Allison and I pepper him with questions, and he does a fantastic job of answering them. But, you know, he hasn't had the truck all that long. So hopefully we'll reschedule a follow-up chat and kind of see what he likes, what he doesn't like. But on this episode, we are going to get Chris's general impressions of the vehicle. We're going to find out the ordering process and dealing with the dealerships and installing a charger. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Allison and Chris were fantastic. And one of the things I love about podcasting with Allison is that when we create content, we cross share between our podcasts. So this episode is going to be available on Chit Chat Across the Pond, which I highly encourage everyone to go and download Chit Chat Across the Pond, or at least subscribe to it. And you can listen to this episode there. But yeah, I am super excited for you guys to hear this. So without further ado, let's jump into it.
This is another fabulous crossover episode with Bodie Grimm of the Kilowatt Podcast, and we are joined by the awesome Chris Ashley of the SMR Podcast. I would like the two of you to welcome each other. Hello, both of you.
Bodie, my man. We've been chatting a little bit. We were setting something up, and then Allison was like, let's do this now. I was like, okay, all right, no sleep. No, I'm just I was happy to.
I think this is going to be good. This is going to be the hot excitement day one.
Chris, we're kind of talking around it. Why don't you tell us what's so exciting?
Well, a little bit over a year ago, Ford announced a electric F-150 called a Lightning. And I was like, yeah, I'll take one. And I put my name down. I threw my $100 in the hat. Back in January, I got a message saying, your number's up. Drop us another $500 and, you know, we'll let you know when we start building it. In April, they said, we're going to build your truck. Around May 14th. And then I got a message after that saying, hey, we'll probably ship your truck somewhere around June 2nd. And then I went back and looked at the email. I was like, oh, they didn't say my truck was be shipped around June 2nd. They said it'll arrive around June 2nd. So funny story. I was on DTNS yesterday. Shout out to the man, Tom Merritt. And we're in the pre-show because, you know, you guys love to prepare. I don't do none of that stuff. And Tom asked me a question and I went completely blank. I was like, and he was like, Chris, I was like, I'm sorry. I just got an email. I said my truck is here. Yes, I am the recipient of one of the first F-150 Lariats. Lightning.
So Lariat is the model within the Ford F-150 Lightning
series. So Lariat is one of the upper body trims for Ford, the F-150. So they got the XLT. Then they have the Lariat, and then they have the Platinum. Then they have the, I think, Eddie Bauer edition, something like that. Something. So it's a little bit higher up there. And then so it's a Lightning, which means it's electric, but it's still the Lariat trim. So, you know, that's where you start getting like the leather seats and some of the other stuff in there. And honestly, I'm not that much into leather seats and stuff like that. But my daughter said she wants her heated seats. And what baby girl wants, I try to deliver.
Do those seats, are they also cooled?
So the front seats are heated. The front seats are heated and cooled and the back seats heated.
I don't know if you know, but Bodie's in Arizona. That's why he cares about cooled seats.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, let me tell you. Cooled seats are awesome. And it also has a heated steering wheel. So it doesn't cool the steering wheel as far as I know. But that's pretty cool.
I love it. The very first Ford F-150 electric vehicle, and Bodie's first question is, can you cool the seats?
Absolutely cool the seats, both front seats. I was going to say the funniest thing to do is either in the wintertime, turn on the heated seats, the heated front seat without people knowing, or hit the cool seat and see people start squirming like, what's going on?
Yeah. My old captain, before he retired, he was like, hey, do you want to take a ride in my truck? And it was an F-150, and it might have been the Lariat or the Platinum, was one of the two. And I was like, okay. So we get in and he turns on the ventilated seats. He had never had that before. I didn't even know it existed. And it was like manna from heaven.
Yeah. I tell you, you come out of the gym, you're hot, you're sweaty. You turn on every AC you can, and then you turn on the cooled seats. And it's just like, yes, give it to me. All of it.
You're funny. Okay. So I'm really excited about the Ford F-150, not because I would ever buy a truck, but because this is the best-selling car in America, right? I mean, the Ford F-150 forever. So if Ford does this right, like it looks like they have, this can be a major shift in electric vehicle adoption in the United
States,
right?
That's what they say. F-150, best-selling truck in America. That's why, you know, after I switched, I was a Chevy guy my whole life, so switching to Ford it was a big deal for me. And my buddy kind of solidified it for me. He was like, it's the best selling truck in the country for a reason. And I was like, huh, that's a good point. So I bought the last one. And then, so the fact that these guys could not only, jump in the market, but put their full weight behind this EV, truck and the name of it, you know, It spells that they're really serious about what they're trying to do. And I was really happy to be able to pick one up.
So let's talk some specs here. Do you know the specs? Like, you know how big the battery is or anything like that?
Yeah, so I can give you most of that stuff. And I'll pull up the rest. The one that I ordered was the extended battery. So you had the option to get the 220 mile range battery or the 320 mile range battery. And Rod, you know, my co-host was like, absolutely longer range battery. You don't need it. You don't use it. But it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So that was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, especially since just like gas tanks, batteries lie.
Right, right.
I mean, you never know whether, you know, with my Tesla at least, it's often a lie. It's like, oh, well, you didn't tell us it was going to be windy today.
Right. You know? Oh, you didn't say you're driving up all these hills, or you're going to be running the AC and charging your phone and all that other stuff. Yeah. So I'm learning pretty quickly.
Right. Or wait a minute, you put bigger wheels on it. Those wheel covers, man, those are not working. That's going to cut your mileage. So yeah, you definitely want as big as you can.
Yeah. So I went with the extended battery. When I picked up the truck, they had charged it for me, and it was reading a 300 mile range on it.
Nice.
I looked in the setting. I was poking around in the settings, and just for everybody listening, I am 100% new to this, new to the game. So, you know, forgive me if you're chomping at the bit to hear me say something and I don't say it, my bad. Just telling you now. But, yeah, I had the 300 mile range on it when I picked it up. And it's using the standard, whatever charger. So pretty much I can go most places. Interesting side note, when I looked in the frunk, that's my favorite word, there was a Tesla adapter in there.
Oh, no kidding.
So, yeah.
So you could charge off a Tesla charger?
No, I think it's so I can allow Tesla folks to charge off of my cord.
Oh, that's a flex.
So I think I can use my cord, put the adapter on it, and then allow Tesla folks to charge off of my, you know, using my cord. That's what it looks like to me, because it would be awesome if it plugs in. I'm not 100%, but because, like I said, it's in a box and it doesn't say this is what it's for. It just says Tesla adapter. So.
Well, I know Bodhi played, what was it? It was the opening day ceremonies at Ford.
The launch day. Mm-hmm.
The launch event. That is an episode of The Kilowatt that I just loved. Yeah. I was telling Chris about it today, where, the CEO was talking, I think it was when the CEO was talking to the crowd, and these are all Ford employees, you know, and it was really inspirational about the Ford family and all this. But the guy said, you know, you can charge your friend's Tesla off of your car. That was just so obnoxious. I hope that's what it is. That would be really funny.
The crazy thing about it is it does have a 220 port, plug-in. In the front of it, of the truck as well. So I think that's what they mean, because it has three 120 and then one 240 in the front.
I didn't know that. So you would be basically plugging in directly into that 220, and you wouldn't necessarily have to use it. I just assumed it went from charging port to charge port. Yeah,
so it has an adapter for that thing too. So I was just,
you said it's three
120s,
did you say?
And yeah, and three then 120s? I guess it's 220 or 240 or 240 or 220, whatever it is. Yeah.
220, 221, whatever it takes. So I'm really jealous of that, because if we have a power outage, the most I can charge off of my car, I've got this giant 75 kilowatt hour battery, and all I can charge from it is like my phone. I might be able to do a smaller laptop over you know, USB-C or something, but that's all I can do.
This is crazy. Because not only do I have all those ports in the frunk, but then I have another three outlets in the bed of the truck. And then I have two outlets inside the truck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is madness. And on my previous truck, I only had the two outlets. I had the one in the front and one in the back. So, you know, I've definitely taken a trip to Florida. Baby girl plugs her laptop in, and she can basically use it the entire, you know, 17-hour ride. It's not surprising that they put an outlet in, but put that many outlets in is crazy. And not only does the frunk have the outlets, but it also has the USB charge ports in there too. Yeah. So really cool.
We're talking kind of around charging, and you've really detailed this on the SMR podcast, but can you go through the process that you had, or can you just break down the process you had to go through to get your charger? Because with the extended range battery, you got the charger with it, correct?
Correct. So, well, that's a whole nother story. That'll be interesting. But yes, okay. According to Ford on their website, if you get the extended range battery, it does come with the Pro charger for the house. Okay. Which I have to have an electrician come out and hook up. So for, and this probably anybody that has a townhouse, you know, in my neighborhood, the townhouse is on my side and the townhouse is across the street. The townhouses across the street have driveways. So if they got an electric vehicle, and in fact, my neighbor does have one, they can pull in their driveway, and because they can install the charger right at the end of the house. Me on my side of the street, we all have assigned parking spaces, and we don't own those parking spaces. So that posed a definite challenge to getting the charger installed. So I really boil down to three options. I can attach it to the house and then stretch a cord across the sidewalk to my truck. Oof. As A.
And then who's liable when I trip over?
So I'd have to get me some kind of mat or something to go over there. And then if you trip on that, that's your fault, as far as I'm concerned. Matter of fact, I might come out there and trip you again if you trip on that thing. but and then B, they could, I could trench a line to the, on my side of the property on the sidewalk, and then just do a short run from there. And then C, which would be the most ideal option, would be to go under, to trench a line under the sidewalk into my parking space and then put a post there that I can charge from. So that was the most ideal, no interference, no nothing. Problem is, like I said earlier, I don't own we don't actually own the parking space. We only own on the other side of the sidewalk. So essentially I had to track down our community manager, ask her what the process was. And it took her a little bit to kind of realize what I was saying. Cause they're like, oh yeah, just put in a request and, show it. And I was like, no, you don't understand. So finally, when it kind of hit home that what we had to do, she was like, okay, well, send me what you want to do. And, I'll have to present it to the board. And so I was like, okay. So what I did is I reached back to the installers that I decided to go with. And I kind of knew that if I was going to have the best chance of this, I wanted as much information as possible. So I asked them to rewrite the quote, give me as much detail as possible. Where are you running? What are you pulling? What type of wires? Where are you pulling it? What's the post going to look like? Send me pictures of previous posts that you've installed. And they were great. They were like, no problem. We can definitely do that. In fact, they were like, can you send us a new picture of the front of your house? Step back and we'll take that picture and we'll draw on it some of the, the things that we're going to do. So they drew the lines where they planned on running the cable. They drew like, a little stick figure post where the post was going to go. And so once I had all of that, I submitted it to the community manager. And within a week or two, she actually came back and said, hey, good news. You're approved to get this installed. And I was shocked because I thought it was going to be a fight. Because now I guess it, we're past, where people had a lot of trouble. Because Rod tells a story. I think he may have told it on here. I don't know if he told it on when he was on with you, buddy.
Oh, tell it again.
To fight tooth and nail to get his charger installed on the outside of his house. And they were like, well, we just don't want it there. And he's like, why? And they're like, well, aesthetically, it doesn't look good. And he was like, you look through this neighborhood, you have people with these dumb hose things out in front of their house that are completely horrendous looking. And I can't get a Tesla charger, it's installed, which actually doesn't even look bad. And then so he, I think he ended up contacting like these, I guess there's this group that you can get to that essentially go around and they battle the homeowners for you. And they're very versed in trying to get this stuff done. And so I think
they're just like a volunteer organization.
I don't know all the details on it.
You gotta
I know he ended up contacting them and I believe they helped him get it done. And eventually they got it. He got it done.
But it was a battle, right?
But yeah, it wasn't as
it definitely wasn't as
easy for him as it was for me. So
you walk in going, I'm going to trench.
I was ready.
And they're like, that's awesome. Go for it.
Because I was offering, hey, if you want, we can do a community one. I'll put up some money for that, so other people can use it. I was in deep. I was like, whatever it's going to take, I want to be able to charge my car in my neighborhood, in my home, preferably.
So who owns this charger and stuff if you move?
That's a good question. So what's happening is after I got approved, they said, we're going to have our lawyers draw up a leasing agreement. Now, what's in this agreement? I don't know what they plan on doing. I'm assuming just a little square cut out where the cable has to come out. I may be leasing that back from them or some type of, you know, indemnification for them, something. I don't know. But I'm guessing. But for me, I would probably leave the charger if I was to move. I think I would just leave it. It potentially add value to the house, because if I moved, I would probably, one of the things I would consider is the feature on this truck where you can back charge the house in a power outage. I wouldn't do it here. I don't really, you know, the house is just a townhouse, but in another house where it's, I can park directly and have more access and, you know, potentially, you know, have a different power line in there, I would more consider it, even though most people are saying it's completely, you know, overkill, because it's super, apparently it's super expensive. Yeah,
in case people are wondering how big a deal that is, what Chris is talking about back charging the house, I don't know if your battery is the same size as ours, but our range is about the same. 320 miles is what my car is supposed to be. It's a 75 kilowatt hour battery. We're buying two Tesla Powerwalls right now, and those things are only 13 and a half each, and that'll maintain my house. So if you've got that and you can backcharge your house, I mean, you could backcharge everybody's house in the neighborhood. That's a lot.
Yeah. They said you can essentially, and so people don't understand, one of the features of the Ford is that if my power goes out of the house, I'm supposed to be able to run the house off the truck instead. So go back the other direction.
Right. But you'd have to install additional hardware. Yeah.
Apparently there's like all this hardware and different. You have to have this Pro Charger first off, the Ford Pro Charger, but then you add this additional hardware. So it's a bit more expensive. That's why I'm not even considering it right now. But yeah, that's part of it. So
what happens if some joker just comes up and parks in your parking space and plugs in? Are you charged for that power, or are they not able? Is it paired somehow to your truck so they can't do that?
I haven't looked at that yet. First off, I could definitely get them towed. So, because again, the parking spaces are assigned. So I'd be like, yo, get out of my parking space. I don't know the features on the charger yet. I'm going to assume there may be some kind of lockout feature, to prevent that, but I don't know. You know, part of me probably wouldn't mind so much if somebody asked and they're like, hey, can I get a little bit of charge? You know, whatever, you know, I guess as a community, if we want this to work, we're going to have to help each other, right? So I probably wouldn't mind. But if somebody would just came in and jack my electricity, I'm like, yo, what's the deal? So part of it is I could probably kill the breaker in between if I wanted to, because the breaker is right here in my office, right up front. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what other capabilities. And part of the reason why is, okay, so getting this all set up, I'm waiting for the lawyers to give me the paperwork. They're behind schedule. Go figure. And I wanted to charge.
It's the supply chain, Chris.
Right, right. The lawyers are part of the supply chain issue. And and I asked Ford if I could get the charger early. And they're like, no, because it's coming with the truck. So I was like, all right, fine. So then, so I don't have the charger. So I go in today when I'm buying the truck. And as I'm leaving, I'm like, hey, I don't see the charger for the house. And they're like, no, that's it. That's the charger right there. I was like, are you sure? They're like, yeah, that's the charger. This is for the outlet. I was like, all right. So I go home and I was like, something's not right. And I look at it again. I go online and start searching. And I was like, no, that's the mobile charger for sure. And then I look at the regular house charger, the wall charger. And it's like, you know, basically the email, let me know when it's back in stock. So I was like, uh-oh. So I called back to the sales rep and I was like, hey, dude, everything's fine. So don't panic, but I need my charger. So so he's supposed to get back to me, but it was kind of late. So, but I hope he's not thinking that I'm just going to, you know, sit back and be right. Like, yeah, no, that I paid, to get the battery upgrade. It's basically another $11,000 on the vehicle, right, to get the extended battery. But that's why it comes with the wall charger. So I want my wall charger. I don't want to have to go buy a separate one, which I, because the it supports it, right? So the Ford does support that, a random charger, which is cool, but I don't want that. I got a charger. I want my charger.
How many people do you think are really frustrated that we're 21 minutes in and we haven't talked about the car yet?
Well, I can tell you my listeners are not going to be frustrated because I have when we're going to go on vacation and during those two weeks that we're off, I've completely planned a show that I talk nothing about charging, nothing except for charging. So it's
so they're used to this preamble before you get to the point.
Allison, you should know they're used to just rambling on my show. There's no rhyme or reason. No point.
I'm just gonna make it happen.
No. Yeah,
so you did ask me.
I want to hear about the car. Right. What's it like to drive?
Okay. So first off, it's absolutely phenomenal. Getting into it was amazing. To Ford's credit, it really felt quite familiar to the truck that I just turned in, right? Which I thought was pretty awesome.
Which was a Ford F-150?
Yeah, and it was a F-150 Lariat. So, as well.
So familiar.
So it was familiar. Very smooth, a lot smoother because I had a bit more aggressive tires on my previous vehicle, but really tight, very concise. A lot of it was the same as my truck, but then there are some upgrades. First off, by far, we're a tech bunch here, and by far it has the CarPlay 4, so that allows me to use Bluetooth for CarPlay instead of having to plug it in. That to me, that's the bee's knees right out the gate.
I am amazed at how many people tell me they will not buy a Tesla because it doesn't have CarPlay.
That would be a rough one for me, even though because I'm used to it and I like. You know, you're literally looking at your iPhone on your car screen, right?
Earlier this week, Elon did say that they're considering bringing CarPlay to Teslas.
No
I think
way.
They would probably have some hardware upgrades in order for that to happen, so it wouldn't happen in legacy vehicles.
It just works pretty good. I mean, originally it worked pretty good, and they've gotten better and better because they've allowed more apps to work, like Waze. You know, before you could only use Maps. Now you can use Waze. WhatsApp shows up on the screen now. Very good. And in fact, they've had deeper integration into the F-150 Lightning now. So as an example, the first thing I noticed is as I had the maps on, it was giving me directions. And as I was approaching the turn, there were like these LEDs in the dashboard that were closing in and getting shorter and shorter and shorter, showing me that I'm getting closer and closer and closer to the exit. That wasn't on the screen where CarPlay was. That was in the dashboard behind the steering wheel. So that means they're doing a tighter integration.
Describe the screens. I've got a picture, and Bodhi, I just texted it to you to show you what he's talking about. But what are you talking about, the dashboard versus the screen?
Yeah, so what they did was they have this giant, I'm going to describe as iPad. That's where the infotainment system. So that's right in the middle of the truck. And
now, is it portrait mode or landscape?
Portrait. So up and down. And everything is there. Like every setting you could use, and this is both settings for like you would expect to see like AC and stereo, but also car settings. Like, for example, we were talking about the braking with the engine, and the setting was actually in that system there. So the dashboard is really more for, as far as I can tell, more of that glance and go information, where, I get my speed, I get my, it has like a little, what do you call that thing? Like a little report that says, hey, you're doing a good job with the braking, right? So kind of like a, you're getting some regeneration back. So it'll say 100% regenerated when you use the engine to slow the car down and get some of that energy back. And then it has the current battery powers there. So it has very limited information. It's not a ton of information there.
So it's more like a speedometer and a gas tank, really, that you're looking at, right?
Yeah.
Which is normal for most people looking forward. It is nice that you have the speedometer up front. I do have to look at a slight angle with the Tesla. It's not bad, because it's in the upper left, but it'd be really nice to have that straight ahead.
Yeah, but it's not what you're used to for all these years. Yeah. Yeah. So that's there. And then everything is on that other screen. you know, everything you could think of is there, you know, turning on the seats and turning off the seats. All of that stuff is in that main.
Now I see sort of a dial on the screen. Yeah, so that's, is that a physical dial sticking out of the screen? It is a physical dial.
And I actually like that aesthetic. Ah. It kind of reminds you that where they came from, right? It's not all digital touch button slide up and down. There is that physical dial to it. And I kind of like that aesthetic. I mean, you know,
what is it used for?
That's volume and power on. The power on the infotainment. So the middle of it turns it on, and then, you know, volume up, volume down. That's it.
On the interface. So about a year ago, or maybe not quite a year ago, Howard and I did a show where we test drove the Ford Mach-E, mm-hmm. and Howard Yermish, and I loved that car. I thought it was fantastic. I did not love the infotainment because I felt like things were nested inside of menus, and he had a similar feeling. Did you find, I'm sure they update this regularly, did you find that it was easy to use the interface?
That's a great question. And if I'm to answer it honestly, I'd have to say that I did not have a lot of trouble navigating it. But that's not to say that would be the experience for everyone. And the reason, you know, I've got plenty of experience using Android, iPhone, tablets, whatever. So once I kind of get a feel for how they're laying things out and it makes sense to me, I can kind of work my way around, right? And it is still a little bit nesty, you know, but you have to kind of learn that this is where everything is there. It's there. Is just what they're calling it. So I'll give two examples of that. Me and the sales rep spent about 20 minutes looking for the setting because he was like, hey, one of the things that Struck has is it has a surround sound. So you can switch the speakers from stereo to surround sound. Took us 20 minutes to find the setting. And I didn't even know it existed. He was done telling me, but we couldn't find it. And we finally found it. We stumbled across it. By that same token, one of the things was, trying to Allison was like, I never use my brake, and there's got to be a setting where you can, you know, turn up the aggressiveness of the braking system on
the regenerative braking. So it puts back into the battery. Yeah. Right.
So I went out to the truck and I just basically sat there, and the cool thing was, like, when you go through it, actually has the manual on screen. And then there's videos associated with the instructions, which I thought was super cool. Like, they literally have videos that you can play to watch, to learn the instructions. Some of the instructions have videos. But I was going through, clicking on things. I was trying to find it. And lo and behold, they don't call it regenerative braking.
Oh.
So, yeah. So they call it one pedal.
Oh, I've heard it called that.
Yeah.
So if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, basically with an EV, you can set it up so it's like a golf cart where as you let off the accelerator, it slows the car down, but it does it by putting energy back into the battery. So with my car, I will go – I probably brake maybe twice a week, three times a week at most. Like, even going into my garage and stuff, it's awesome because you're just not using the brakes and you're not putting load on the engine. You're actually – adding to, well, you don't have an engine, but you're actually adding energy back into the battery. I do want to say, in Ford's defense, Tesla will put things in reasonable places, but then they'll do a software update and they'll move them.
Oh, wow.
We have yet to be able to figure out where the valet mode is on our car now. It used to be super obvious. Steve and I spent a half an hour. Neither of us could find it. We don't know. We think it's in there somewhere.
I stumbled across my valet mode. I was like, oh, valet mode. Cool. In the end, I still haven't figured it all out, but it doesn't seem like there's any much control with the regenerative part of it. So it just regenerates and shows you on the screen that you're getting some power back to the battery, and that's it. So it's like you do that automatically. It kind of handles it for you. But if you actually want to use the one pedal driving, which is to use the engine as the brake, yeah, you turn it on, and it wasn't on by default, and which is smart.
Is that really the engine?
Oh, right. Yeah, the motor.
You're going to have to get all new words. Gas pedal. Yeah. It's really hard.
It is hard. But I turned it on and decided to go around the block right before we started on here. And that's definitely going to take some getting used to because it is aggressive. As soon as I turned it on, like, the car wouldn't even move. I was like, what's going on? And I hit the accelerator and it was like, let's go. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, you got to get used to it because the thing is, when you come to a stop sign or a stoplight, you just take your foot off the brake and you just sit there. You're not having to hold it down. And when you're stop and go traffic, it is a dream, Chris. And you're going to love it.
So I have to figure out what the distance is because the way it works is, and I'm sure it probably works the same way for you, is if I let off the accelerator, it slows down, but it doesn't stop. So the more I let off the accelerator, the harder it slows the vehicle down. And then if I let off all the way, it's going to come to a complete stop. If I let off partially, it'll slow down. And so it's pretty cool.
The thing you'll notice is that's true in slow traffic. If you're going 80 miles an hour on the freeway and you pull all the way off, it will not put your face through the windshield.
And they are very adamant that do not think that taking your foot off the pedal is going to stop the vehicle. Hit the brake. You know, they actually point it out. Use the brake. If you know.
Okay. Here's something to keep in mind, though. One of the things actually Steve pointed this out is I think it's safer to be in an emergency situation on the highway in an EV with regenerative braking. When you're in an ICE vehicle, a gas powered vehicle, when you pull your foot off the accelerator, the car is still flying down the freeway at the speed it was. It's slowing down a little bit, but just barely. So the time from when you let off the accelerator till you hit the brake, you're not slowing down. But with your car, you will be slowing down in between those two motions.
That makes perfect sense. Bring your speed down. So that part of the vehicle I just turned on, and it was pretty cool. I actually turned on on the way home, I started messing around with their, what's it called? Blue Drive, which is basically like their,
Blue Cruise.
Thank you. So the way it works is, you turn on cruise control and then Rod has been on me for years I have to check out adaptive cruise control. And, for folks that may not know, adaptive cruise control can actually detect vehicles in front of you. And so you don't have to slow it down. It's the vehicle slows itself down. If you start getting too close to a vehicle in front of you, which is, Rod loves and, changing lanes and stuff like that. So you can first turn on cruise control in the Lightning. And then there's a second button that says turn on the, Blue Cruise. And then once Blue Cruise is on, it basically drives itself. And it does depend on the highway, the sales rep said. So depending on what highway you're on, whether it'll turn on or not, or it's available. But the other thing is it aggressively tells you to keep your hands on the steering wheel.
How does it tell you?
It comes up and it starts flashing red on the screen. So it's basically hands on the steering wheel, or we're about to shut this down. We're about to shut this thing down.
Don't make me turn this car around.
Exactly right. So that was pretty cool.
How long will it give you? Like if you take your hands off to.
So I didn't test it very much that very long. It took a little bit though. It wasn't like immediately. Yeah. I didn't take my hands all the way off. I kind of, cause anybody who thinks that they're going to jump into an electric vehicle that has this and they're like, I'm going to kick my feet. No, you're not. It is super disconcerting. And I was just like, almost like when you're riding a bike for the first time, you're just like, okay, let me try this new stunt ride with no hands, but your hands are like, a millimeter away from this same thing. Right. I was just like, all right, let me try this out. And then, so it took a little bit and then, it started flashing and then I went ahead and kicked it back on and then it went back and said hands-free control and it was pretty cool. So I'll definitely mess around with that more, but that was kind of fun. Again, just the smoothness. I didn't get in, everybody's probably wondering how fast it is. Apparently it does 0 to 60 in 4.4 seconds, right, Allison? That's what we looked up.
Yeah, that's what I looked up. Yeah,
and just by comparison, Allison's...
For a big truck, that's insane, though.
For Allison's super fast Tesla, it's what's your 3.3?
3.1.
No. Give me all my numbers.
But that's... I am convinced that's enough to give you microconcussions if you do it too often.
And this thing is... the truck is massive.
Your car probably weighs twice what mine does. Do you have any idea, Bodie, the relative size?
I don't know, but I would imagine, just the battery pack alone is probably extreme. Well,
actually, we might have. Oh no, no, that's right. He's got to have a bigger battery to carry a much heavier vehicle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I would guess that your battery's sitting over 100 kilowatt hours, but that's just a guess. I don't know how efficient Ford is. I don't think anybody's had a real chance. I don't think Sandy Monroe's like tore it down or anything yet. So
we should point out, Chris, how many hours have you had the car?
I've had this thing like
8 hours.
Yeah. 8 hours. Yeah. It had 2 miles when I picked it up. Just two.
Sorry. Tell Bodie what the dealer said about bringing it back.
Oh, this is hilarious. So, as I finished the transaction, shaking hands, I did a little social media blurb for them because they were going to post it on social media, on their social media account. And the guy's like, you do realize you could literally take this car and resell it and probably make a good $20,000-$30,000 easy. And I was like, where's the fun in that? I actually want the truck. Yeah. You know, I didn't do all of this to flip it. I actually want the vehicle. And he was like, in fact, my sales manager said, if you don't want it, you know, in a week, bring it back. He'll give you 10 grand over what you paid for it. Wow. And he was not joking.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And then I realized, yeah, you know, cause I just messed around online to kind of, you know, make sure that I was supposed to get the charger and it. Yeah. I think people are waiting till next year already to get the next, you know, some of the next ones.
It's totally sold out. The 2022 or 2023, whatever the model year is totally sold out.
So I'm,
oh, I just checked it. It's 131 kilowatt hours. Mine is 75.
Yeah. This is it's a big boy.
Next extended range battery. Holy cow. That's insane.
And it's you know, some of the other cool things, it's got the 4x4 capabilities. Is the frunk can open from the remote automatically. So I just double tap the remote, it opens up automatically and closes automatically. And the bed opens and closes automatically. And I haven't closed it yet to see how proficient it is, but it's supposed to close automatically as well. And but it definitely opens automatically on it when I double click that one. So that's super cool to me.
What is the remote you're talking about?
So the remote for the,
you have like a
key fob for the vehicle. All it, and the funny thing is I cannot start the vehicle from the key fob. So, you know, normally you double press like lock and then you hit the button to start the truck or start the vehicle. It doesn't have that. Yeah. I have to remote start it from the app.
Wait. Oh, remote start.
Right. So you're turning on the air conditioning or the heat from the app.
No, you actually start the vehicle from, you can start the vehicle from the app, but you can't start it from the fob.
So if you don't have your phone, you
can't remote start it. No, from what I can tell.
Oh, yeah. Remote start it.
So we're just talking about remote starting. Yeah. You know,
I'm completely confused because I've, other than, you know, showing off the summons feature on my car, I've never remote started a car on purpose.
Oh, yeah, because you live in California. The weather's always the same. So for me,
72 degrees.
Yeah.
And holding.
So for us, you know, in the wintertime, I'll remote start my vehicle so it starts warming up the car. And so when I go out, the seats are warm. That's one of the awesome things about the Lariat is it had the steering wheel warmer. So the steering wheel was always warm and the seats were warm. And then in the summertime, it's automatic. So it'll say, okay, it's hot outside. So the seats will start to cool off because it'll start blowing the cool air on the seats. And then it will cool the vehicle. So when you get in, you're comfortable. And so remote start for me is a big deal. And so this has remote start, but it's not done through the fob. It's actually done through the app. And the app's pretty much what you would expect it to be, being able to look up and see, you know, charge stations and that are close by. Remote start, unlock, lock. They've done a good job with that.
How do you unlock the car? Do you have to have a key fob or can you get in with your phone?
Both, either or, I should say. So with my phone, I can unlock or lock.
Does it unlock when you get near the car or?
It doesn't unlock when I get there, but I don't have to touch anything. So, as far as the key or the phone. So the one thing that Ford did on before and on this is as long as it detects the key, as soon as I touch the door, it unlocks.
Oh,
does it have the button, like the
lock button?
Does it have a handle, or does it just have a button
on the door? It has a handle, but it has a sensor on the back side of the handle and a button sensor on the front side of it. So once my fingers wrap underneath, it detects the key, it unlocks the car. And then when I'm getting out, I just shut the door and I just tap the button on the other side of the handle, on the front side of the handle, and it locks everything. So that's my preferred way. I when we're leaving, we're going somewhere, everybody's standing around the car and they're waiting for me to open the door, but I don't use the key. I don't unlock the door remotely. So they have to wait till I actually get to the vehicle and put my hand in.
Make them wait.
It's hilarious. But unfortunately, that's just, you know, once you get used to doing something, that's the way it is. So,
go ahead, Bodie.
You don't have to answer this next question if you want to save it for the SMR podcast, but were you able to fit in the front?
I did not attempt to get into it. I was thinking about it, but I was so exhausted. At some point, I checked the weight, and it did say that there was a 400-pound weight, so I'm good to go there. I will attempt to get into it. It's not massive. It's not a massive thing, but it's sizey. So I think
you should start with baby girl.
Yeah, you're right. I should work my way up. Well, I get my golf clubs in there first. If my golf clubs can go in there, that is a huge win, because I'm always have my golf clubs rolling around in the bed of the truck. And even though I don't play that often, the reason why they stay in the vehicle is because I hate storing them in the house. You know, I don't have a ton of room. So I like storing them in there. So now
that's huge. I mean, our frunk is, we got a frunk. It's the size of a cooler.
Not a big cooler. I guess I'm speaking out of turn then. Yeah, it's been way bigger than that. That thing is, it is pretty, you know, it's sizey for what I would think. And I believe I can get into there pretty comfortably. And I love the fact that it has a button on there, so I can hit the button to close it. But the button is actually accessible from the outside as well. So I can reach my hand under it and tap the button to open it. So I don't always have to use the fob to open the frunk. I can just tap that same button and it'll open. You know, it gives you the two beeps and then it opens up, and then I want to close. I just tap the button and it gives you the two beeps and it closes back down. So I found that to be super cool about it. And then this is
I have a dumb question.
Yeah.
When you get in the car, is it already started, or do you have to start it like with a button or something?
So if I don't remote start it, then I have to start it. It doesn't start on its own. So most of the time it'll already be started, because I probably would have remote started it. But you do step on the brake pedal and hit the start button on it, and then it fires up. And then you're staring at it like, are you on? And then it comes on the screen and says vehicle isn't running. So yeah, it's super quiet, as you would expect, which is crazy to me. And it's so funny, because I sent a couple of pictures to my coworkers, and you know, I work for a software company, so we're pretty lax, and I'll take meetings and I'm going to Starbucks in the middle of a meeting, and inevitably they're hearing me, you know, in and out of the truck, or they're hearing the truck running in the background while I'm driving. And they're like, yeah, I can't wait to hear this thing when you're in our next meeting. I was like, you ain't gonna hear nothing. I said, those days are over. It's super quiet, you know, except for the AC. The AC is pretty loud.
That's a good question. Does the car make noise, like when you go in slow speed, for the blind or for the inattentive? Let me say it that way.
So I didn't ghost ride the whip. Also, that's a thing in California where they would jump out of the car while it was on and running, and they would just dance next to the vehicle. So I had to explain that one to you. Bodie got it right away.
When I was in high school, because of the movie with the werewolf and Michael J. Fox, Teen Wolf, we used to just put the car in drive and just like run up the top of the car, hang out on the hood, all sorts of stupid stuff. But I went to high school in Alaska. Well, you had very little chance of running into anybody. Oh yeah, we were also very stupid.
Ride a seal. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, no. So I did not.
Well, the seals are hard, but the walruses are easier.
Yeah, I did not ghost ride the whip. So, but I noticed it does make some sound. I can hear it. It's not completely dead quiet. And then if the AC is running, that I can actually hear pretty loudly on the outside. So there is that.
I'm really glad they started doing that, because one of our things, our buddy Ron told us, he had a Tesla before we did. And he said, remember, when you're in a parking lot, just chant to yourself, they can't hear me. They They can't hear me because our cars don't make any noise at all. And you'll be driving in a parking lot and somebody will just turn and walk right in front of you. And they're not being idiots. They can't hear you.
Right. Yeah. It makes some noise, as far as I can tell.
But it might have, I believe all the cars made more recently do have some, by law, they have to make some sort of little whine or something. Hmm.
Yes, and it has to meet a certain spec, otherwise Elon gets upset.
So, you know, this truck has the, I got another black truck, but I was pleasantly surprised that the interior was not all black. It was actually two-tone, black and gray, which I tend not to like two-tone, but it actually looks really good on there. It has the same kind of sunroof, moonroof like my previously truck.
That's what's interesting is what we haven't really said here is you just bought a new truck having never sat in it, never driven it, sight unseen. And that's crazy.
And in fact, when I got there, they're like, "Do you want to test drive it?" And I was like, "No." I was like, "We're gonna get up, we're gonna get all this paperwork stuff done, and then then we'll." And I just honestly, we finished paperwork, went outside, took some pictures, shook hands, and every sales rep that was available came out to check out the truck because it was the first one they'd ever seen. None of them have ever seen it. They're like, "This is the first one we've ever seen," and which was amazing to me.
No, I already know the answer to this, but one of the things we talk about a lot on my show is how dealers are gouging people wanting to charge $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 more. You didn't experience this, right? Because you knew from the outset that this was going to happen. So you went.
So looking. I did not experience it. And shout out to Apple Ford in Columbia, Maryland. I was very happy with them. In fact, when I bought my original F-150, I had such a great experience that I knew I was going to come back there and get it. My next vehicle. So I was very aware of the potential of it. And that was part of my apprehension to be so excited before I actually brought it home was the fact that this could happen. Even, Rod was sending me all kinds of videos and articles about what was going on. And I was glad to see that Ford had finally stepped in. Everybody on this show should probably know what was going on. But, these dealers were getting pretty egregious. And the most recent one that I saw that Rod had sent me was the guy had shipped his. So when you went through the order, you actually got to pick which dealership took you wanted to deliver your vehicle to. And so this guy apparently picked his dealership, which was his local one. And when he got there, they basically were like, "No, we don't have your order," for like the first, couple of times, even though it was there. Then finally they're like, "Oh yeah, it's here. But, because you have to pay an extra like $12,000, I think he said, or something like that, because you took one of our, allotment slots." So, I guess, Ford is given a certain allotment to each dealership. And then, since I picked this dealership to have it delivered, they lose one of their allotments because that was a sale for them. I guess that's how it works. And he was like, he couldn't believe it. He was just like, "Guys, what are you doing?" And so he ended up rerouting his truck to another dealership so that he didn't have to deal with them. But my experience was super pleasant. I was on edge the whole year because I didn't want to be super disappointed that that these guys gouged me. In fact, when you go to close the deal and they're like, "Okay, do you want to do extended warranty and blah, blah, blah." And I went to go see the lady and she actually remembered me from the last time I bought my truck. And she was like, they have this program called Customer for Life where you get free oil changes, free brake, tire rotation. She was like, "You don't need none of this." So she was like, "I'm not even going
to." Well, you still have to rotate the tires.
There's two programs. They got the regular, which is like the tire rotation and the free car washes anytime you want. And they have to put a stipulation is one per day because there were people who were coming like in the morning and at night. I died laughing when she told me that. But they were abusing
that's
it.
So funny.
But they have the platinum one, which was some of the other stuff. And then plus they're like, "We'll give you an extra $500 on your next trade when you trade it back in." I'm like, "Why would I do that?" You know what I mean? It's like for $500. And she's like, "Yeah, that's silly." So she was very honest and very cool about it. In fact, when we're, you know, she was like, what accessories do you want? So I was like, okay, spray bed liner. Anybody that buys a truck, you got to spray the bed, period. Do not put in the, don't drop in the stupid covers that are like plastic. They don't work. You still dent the back of the truck up. You get you a spray and liner. For me, I always go with Linex because it's super strong and everything you throw in there pretty much just bounces off. And so I ordered that immediately. It's $600. And then I get the Torno cover, which is the hard cover for the back of the truck, because, you know, sometimes I have wood back there or something for a woodworking project and I don't want to get soaking wet when I'm driving in the rain. So I like to have a Torno cover.
It's so funny, all the things you talk about. Rain.
Rain. You know, let's say this. Let's say you.
Cooled seats.
Well, okay, I'll give you one that you can relate to. When I was tailgating a lot, I would have my expensive grills and all my food and stuff like that, my chairs, my tables, and coolers full of food. And I don't want people to, you know, while we're in the game, to come in and just like, oh, free food, you know, free equipment.
There you go. Okay, now I can understand.
So being able to lock it up is a great thing. So, yeah, so Torno cover immediately.
That's exactly why I have the Cybertruck on order, but that's exactly why I want a Frunk, because sometimes after work, they're like, hey, let's go have breakfast. And I'm always like, do I bring, sometimes I'll have my laptop. I'll have, you know, some, there are times when I can have $5,000 worth of equipment sitting in my car. And I'm like, do I bring all this crap in with me? Do I leave it at the station? I just want a Frunk. Right? That's the biggest thing that I want a Frunk for. I just want to be able to put it in there. Nobody can see it.
Well, the biggest reason why I wanted a Frunk was groceries, because nothing worse than chasing apples and, you know, little boxes of juice in the back of a bed of a truck. And, you know, and
so just because it's smaller and tighter,
it's just rolling around everywhere. And it's like, OK, you can put it in the back seat. But if you're traveling with people, yeah, there's no room in the back seat, you know. So, yeah, it's a pain. Or you could go get a net or a box. It's such a pain. So I wanted a Frunk for that very reason. That and my golf clubs. I wanted to permanently put my golf clubs somewhere and not have to worry about it. So those two reasons.
So Bodhi's audience would understand this, but I'm not sure my audience would, is that the reason you can have this Frunk he's talking about, a front trunk, is because there's no engine in the car. So where you're used to opening the front of your car and there's an engine, there's nothing. Yeah. So they make it into a Frunk. And it is, we forget about it. In fact, I told you we have the size of a cooler. We bought a cooler made to fit in the front of our car. And just not that recently, we opened it up and it's full of pies and pie cream and all this food we totally forgot about. No. It's been in there for months because we forget it's there. No.
So the reason why I keep talking about it, because it's probably the one feature I was most looking forward to. Even though there's tons of cool features in this bad boy, that one right there was one I was really looking forward to. Now I stumbled across another one, which I found super interesting. So I have the bench in the back seat, which is basically like a love seat. It's so massive in the back of this truck. Then I have the two seats up front, and then I have the center console. Now, previously, before, you would just stick your fingers in and open up the center console. You pull it backwards, and, you know, usually like the instruction manual and tissue paper and stuff like that, I put in there or whatever. But now what they've done, and you know, you could probably look at most vehicles, that cover for that center panel is usually pretty thick. It's usually like maybe like an inch and a half thick. So what they did, they just said that's a lot of wasted space. So now on this thing, now the cover actually opens forward and you can place a laptop there, and it's at an angle to support the laptop as well as the screen.
Oh, to work on.
So you could literally plug your laptop into the outlet in the inside, fold the cover of the center console out, place a laptop there, and actually do work. And then
that is crazy.
Now the shifter for the truck is, you know, that cover would fold on top of the shifter, right? It would open up on top of the shifter. Well, of course, they added a button that folds the shifter down into a console and hides the shifter, so it's completely gone. Now, I just stumbled across this stuff, and I was like, "It's the coolest thing I've ever seen."
That is
awesome. And
I was excited when you said you had a Qi charging in there for your phone, because that was kind of an interesting thing to discover when you were talking about Bluetooth in CarPlay. Because one of the advantages of having to plug in to get CarPlay is you're forced to charge your phone when you're running Waze. Yep.
And so the cool thing about that is, they have the little panel up front where you normally would store your coins and all that stuff in there. And then it has like the USB outlets for, charging or connecting to CarPlay. But I looked down inside of there and I noticed that it was flat and then it angled upwards. And I looked at it, I was like, that's kind of an odd angle. Why did they do that? And I looked a little closer and I could see like gripper lines going on the little pad part that was angling upwards. And I looked a little closer and I saw a phone and I was like, no way. And I dropped my phone on it and it's like, bing, started charging. I was like, yes. I hated having a cable, even though it was super important to, keep the phone charged, especially if you're running GPS and music and all this other stuff. You definitely need to keep the phone charged. But it always bugged me because when I'm not using the cable and I didn't always use it, the iPhone cable is flapping around every which way. And then inevitably I'd have to change it because I'm plugging it in and out so constantly it would at some point it would get a short. So the fact that I can use, I can connect to CarPlay without a cable. I can just strictly use Bluetooth. But that doesn't mean I don't charge my phone. I can rest my phone on that. And because it's angled up, I can still see the screen, right? So it's inside of this compartment, but it's angled at an angle so I can see the screen on it if I need to. I love it. It just goes to show me that they really, they didn't just build something, right? They thought about how to make things better, because I have a lot of these features in my current truck, but they're not the same. They're not as thought out as they are in this vehicle. And
it sounds to me like Ford did a really good job of, like you say, making a familiar vehicle, but it's not like they just said, okay, we've got a vehicle and we're just going to slap a battery in it.
Right.
It's the sweet spot between those two.
Yep. They didn't just take the frame that they had known and loved and adapt it. They actually attempted to make things better. And I really love the fact that they did that. I can't say it enough. And, it has things like the previous truck had the ability to connect to my Wi-Fi because it would accept updates that way. Now it has it also can be a hotspot. So the truck can actually.
What?
Yeah. The truck can act as a hotspot for other. Come on.
Oh, that's nice. So you pay? Do you pay for cellular service on it?
No, that comes. It comes with Ford Sync, from far as I can tell, because I've never been charged or anything for it.
You had this on your previous car?
I didn't have the hotspot, but it had Ford Sync, and the Ford Sync could connect over the air, because I could be at the airport and start, get off the plane and remote start the vehicle. So it's nice and warm or nice and cool by the time I get out of the airport. So it always had that ability to connect over the air, but the fact that it now can act as a, I haven't tested to see if it would let you out through the internet through Ford Sync, or it just has to have an internet connection. And then it would share the internet connection with other vehicles. But that's something I've talked about for years on the SMR podcast.
Oh, with other vehicles. I thought you meant
for people in the car. No.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, and that's something I talked about for years, is I don't understand why, more vehicles didn't have a hotspot that you could use in your vehicle, for kids, to connect in and, do whatever they needed to do. So,
I want to start winding us up here, but I do want to make one statement here. This car is real pretty. It is. It is nice. Maybe it's because you standing in front of it. That's part of it. But I'm going to put a picture in the show notes. But it's a good looking vehicle.
They did a good job with the lines on it. And that was one of the things, because I looked at the Chevy. I know that the Cybertruck was very polarizing, but I was going to get it initially. I don't want to go into that here. But I decided not to get it. And then as I was going through, and I was like, okay, let me see what Ford offers, Rivian and Chevy. I don't like my trucks to be rounded. I like lines on my truck. And I'm not very picky when it comes to this stuff, but certain things I am. And that is one of them. I want my truck to look like a truck, not like a glorified bubble. And
not like a Dodge.
And Dodge rounds their panels all the time. And this thing looks really, really good. And the black on black, so the rims are black, and the truck is black, and then the running boards are black. I love that look. I've always been a big fan of black on black when it comes to a vehicle. So I'm really happy. And then I'm really on the other side of that. I'm glad that now I'm even more glad that they did the two-tone with the gray seats, because then it kind of breaks it up a little bit. The lights, did I tweet out the lights?
No, we haven't yet.
Not yet.
The lights on the front of the truck at night, because what they did is the other thing that they did is they created a strip, right? They did a light strip across the front and a light strip across the back. And Oh yeah, I did tweet it out though. Hold on, I thought I did.
Yeah, but I haven't read your tweets. I've been busy talking
to
you.
Yeah. True that. But there's a tweet I put out an hour ago that shows the front of the truck with the strip light on. Come on. It just looks so sick with that light. You know, I've never seen another vehicle to do that, right? Where the light goes all the way across from one side to the other and then down. And then it has the two bulbs in the front of it. So if anybody wants to check that out, you can look at Big Chris Ashley and you'll see the front lights. And I purposely waited. Like, I was like, when it gets dark outside, I'm turning on the lights and I want to see what this thing looks like. So I knew I had to see what it looked like at night, and it's every bit. And I love the fact that they put the lightning in that light blue in the back too. That was really cool too.
All right. I did go look at the lights. That is pretty sick. That looks
look at
really,
that.
Really
look
cool.
At that.
All right. I hate to cut this off, but maybe we can get together when he actually knows something more about the car. What do you think, Bodie?
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. Asking him all these questions, it's just like, I just drove the car home.
I've had the car.
Not really fair.
No, I'm happy to come back after I had some time to kind of learn the EV world a bit more and understand the charging part of it. And I got to get,
Make sure you become insufferable with gas-owned vehicle owners.
Oh yeah, you gotta pull the I'm more superior than you card every
I gotta
time.
Look at my,
oh, you have to get gas?
I gotta look at myself in the mirror. I was like, oh, you gotta gas your other vehicle up? It was like, you suck. Like, you got electric. Oh, you're just an elitist. Yes, I am. I'm gonna go back and forth with myself because I haven't gotten rid of the other one yet. But
has Rod seen
it? No. So unfortunately for Rod, he is traveling this week. And he is.
Oh, he said that was going
to
happen.
Sick to his stomach because he, he's been my biggest proponent to get a electric vehicle, and he's been with me every step of the way. That's my boy.
You picking him up at the airport? At
so
least.
It's funny. He mentioned he was like, "Man, if you had dropped me off, I could have rode home in the truck." And he asked me to take him to the airport before he left, and I was like, "Sure, no problem." People probably wondering, like, why do you get Uber? We just take each other to the airport. We've been friends for 46 years this year. So it's just something we do. And I was like, okay, no problem. Then he called back. He's like, you're off the hook. I'm just going to drive myself. I was like, okay. So he double missed. I can't even go pick him up because his car is there. You know what I mean? So he can't leave it. So yeah.
You could drive beside him.
Right, 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 right. So I'll probably swing past his house and, he'll either stop here on the way home or he'll definitely get to check it out. And, he's so excited. I think he's considering getting one as well.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you the hook here, guys. So Chris, you said you're Big Chris Ashley on Twitter.
Yep.
And the podcast is the SMR podcast at smrpodcast.com.
Yep. Yes, that right. That's right. And if you like barbecue, check out at Barbecue and Tech as well. It's the other podcast.
Absolutely.
And
Bodie is the Kilowatt podcast, correct?
Yes. And I'm going to all my listeners and Allison's listeners, a good probably 30 to 50% of the show, depending on the show, is of the SMR podcast is talking about electric vehicles. I've recommended your show on my show before, but I'm now that everybody's got a chance to hear you, I'm going to recommend it again.
Thank you for that.
So Yeah, for sure. You guys are great. I love listening to
check us out.
All right. Fun to have my favorite guys here together. And you gave a tip of the hat to Tom Merritt.
Yes.
The only reason I know Bodie is because of Tom. So Bodie to Chris, same, to Tom, to me, to Tom. It's all a big circle of
crazy
love.
I love that guy.
All right. I'm going to cut us off, guys. Thank you very much. This was
fun.
Blast.
This was a nice recap of the day. I appreciate it, actually.
And bye to Bodie's audience from me. Say goodbye,
bye
Bodie.
Bye to everybody right. else's audience. Peace. Wherever this podcast may go,
hear these voices,
goodbye.
Peace, love, and hair grease.
All right, everybody, that is our episode. I want to thank Allison and Chris for being so kind with their time. Like, Allison and I are on the West Coast of the United States. Chris is on the East Coast. He agreed to start recording at 10 p.m., and we recorded for over an hour. So bless this man. Thank you very much, Chris, for coming on. I really appreciate it. So I'm going to put the links to their podcasts in the show notes, but Chris's podcast is the SMR podcast. And I mentioned this at the end of the show. Here's why I like listening to the SMR podcast. First, you can tell that all three of the hosts love each other. They are very close friends, and they tease each other. They have fun at the other person's expense, but it's all in love. So that's a lot of fun as a listener. They talk about EVs for a significant portion of almost every show, which I think is great because it's an interest of mine. They talk about tech news. They talk about what's going on in their lives. They talk about barbecue. They talk about woodworking. This is a great podcast. Like, I highly encourage you to go and listen to this podcast. Also, Chris and Rod, his co-host from the SMR podcast, they have another podcast called Barbecue and Tech. And I'll put a link in the show notes. I really enjoy this podcast, and I don't barbecue. Like, I have a barbecue grill, the gas grill, but it's not, that's just cooking food. Nothing as to what they're doing. I barely eat meat. Like, I don't eat beef. I don't eat pork, and I reluctantly eat chicken and sometimes fish, but I really enjoy their podcast for a lot of the same reasons I enjoy the SMR podcast. They really bring, not only tips to improve your game, your barbecue game, but they also have a lot of technology that they talk about around barbecue. So highly encourage you to go check that out. And as far as Allison goes, everything good begins with podfeet.com. So go to podfeet.com and check out what she's up to. If you are into technology and you are looking for answers, you might find them on podfeet.com. It's just not a website that shows where her podcasts are. She has articles up there, and some of them are very extensive. And Allison, you could probably tell, is very detailed. And those articles are very well written and easy to read. So basically, it comes out of necessity. Like, Allison will be like, I don't understand why this does this. And then she'll write up a whole article explaining what the problem is, how she overcame it. If she had interactions with the company itself, she'll put that in there. If other people gave her some assistance, she'll throw that in there. It's a great website. I love her podcast, NozillaCast, Chit Chat Across the Pond, Programming by Stealth. All of that is fantastic. I realize that I'm going on and on about this, but I can't say enough nice things about these folks. Truly, I feel blessed to be able to be in their, orbit. I want to thank Allison and Chris one more time. If you want to email me, it's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. You can find me on Twitter at 918digital. And I think I misled you. I am taking a short 2-week break from this podcast. It was going to be 3, but because that CEO canceled, it's just going to be 2 now. That doesn't start until June 17th. And then the 24th, you'll have pre-recorded shows that day, those days. All right, everybody. That's it for me. Thank you so much. I hope you all have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you.
Hold up.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.